We've had immigration clients, criminal defense clients, and we just want to continue to serve the community. We've been helping people in those areas, want to continue to help them. You know, my dad was really passionate about immigration law. And as a firm, we just thought, you know, it makes sense.
Welcome to the Tip the Scales podcast, where we discuss running and growing your law firm. I'm your host, Maria Monroy, president and co-founder of LawRank. Today, I am joined by Orlando De Castroverde, and we discussed running a practice that not only has a personal injury department, but immigration and criminal defense. We talked about working with family. Initially, his father started the firm. And we talked about targeting the Spanish-speaking community in Nevada. I hope that you guys enjoy this episode. Orlando De Castroverde, how are you?
Doing good this morning. How are you doing, Maria?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I want to start off by congratulating you. You have a beautiful office.
It's nice, right?
It's so nice. So, and I've been to many, many offices. This is really, really a nice office. And even like outside, it's like so cute too.
Yeah. We love this office over here at Tivoli.
Yeah.
You know, I'm usually probably at the downtown office.
I haven't been to your downtown office.
And that's really nice too.
It's, okay. I believe you.
The nicest building in, definitely in the neighborhood, yeah, because it's kind of close to downtown, not the nicest area.
Yeah.
But it's really nice as well, but not as, this office, what's cool about it, it's really...
Modern?
Modern, yeah. Very you know, modern. We got yeah. the inspiration from, you know, that Robert De Niro movie where he's like an older guy trying, and he's working like in a computer with young people and he did.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Right. He's like really
yeah.
old. And then
yeah, it's such a sweet movie. Yes. I cried with that movie. Uh-huh. And who's that behind you? I don't know if Matt, is that on in one of the cameras?
So that's my dad. And that picture was actually made by an artist. He's a friend of ours. He's actually in Miami where you're
really?
At. Yeah, his name's Joan. And
wow, he did such a good job.
His brother Leo did some marketing for us. And then Joan came later from Cuba after Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And Leo said, hey, he's an artist, you know. But we didn't know how good of an artist
he was.
He's
really good. Yeah. And your dad founded the firm, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. Because you guys, I also want to touch on, you guys target the Hispanic community pretty aggressively, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is really, really cool. I mean, you know, I'm from Mexico, so.
Yeah, so my dad was probably one of the first Hispanic lawyers in all of Nevada. You know, but he became a lawyer later in life when he was about my age in his 40s. And my mom and dad were blackjack dealers in the daytime.
While I was really?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Alex and I grew up in Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
You know, so I got to Reno when I was about 4 years old, right? Because my mom and dad are both Cuban. And they moved from Miami to Reno to be blackjack dealers. One of my dad's friends got him a job dealing, you know, say, come down here to deal blackjack. And then my dad became a lawyer by going to school at night in Reno.
Tell us, how big is your firm?
So right now we're about 100 employees total.
Wow, congrats.
Uh-huh. 20 lawyers, yeah. So it's been a process.
Right? I bet.
It's been a
and
process.
You guys do, what's kind of neat about you guys is that you target the English-speaking community, which is like, that's like a dot, right? But you also target the Spanish-speaking community, but you do personal injury, immigration, and criminal defense. Do I have that right?
That's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, those are the three areas.
That must be really tough. How do you guys go about it?
Well, I mean, I think what makes it a little easier is, you know, we have different leaders, you know, people running the different departments, right? So I don't really get involved with immigration too much or the criminal defense. Definitely not on the day-to-day, you know, maybe if we're Alex and I are involved, it's from a macro, you know, oversight view.
Yeah, and right now you guys have a big push. I saw your new billboards. I hadn't been here in 6 months. I saw your new billboard on the way here. What is it? Brothers Win?
What is it? Come on. Something you like don't that. Know?
Was it Brothers Win?
Well, yeah. Brothers Win.
Uh-huh.
And Brothers Have Your Back.
I didn't see that one.
You haven't
seen that? I think it said Brothers Win.
Okay.
And then it said De Castroverde at the yes. bottom of the picture of you guys. And like you guys were on opposite sides.
Yeah. So we got different boards. So one's yeah. Brothers Win, brotherswin.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other tagline is Brothers Have Your Back.
How's that going? Have you noticed a difference or?
Yeah, well, it's still early.
It is early.
It's still early.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, we've gotten some good feedback, you know, friends, family, you know, as far as, yeah, I like that. I like the brothers have your back.
Yeah. Cause so it's you and your brother, Alex, that now run the firm, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. What's it like working with your brother?
It's cool.
So tell me a little bit about what your role is at the firm, because when you have 100 employees, like there's no way you can be communicating with 100 employees, like, right? Like you have to be more, I would assume, you know, we're at 50 employees. That's double. Like, I can't even imagine that, that you have to, like, you have a role that you do. What is it that you enjoy doing at the firm?
Sure. And true. You can't be with that many employees, you know, spending time with them every day. So, yeah. But with that said, you know, I try to do my best to be involved. You know, I try to be at the offices and, you know, stay connected, talk to people. You know, as far as there's something important with that, still being connected to your team members. You know, I think they like to see when we're in the office, you know, when we're connecting with them. But beyond that, obviously, yeah, I kind of see my role as two parts. You know, I like working on the business as mm-hmm. far as trying to help, you know, on the PI side, you know, what can we do to overall help, you know, create a better product, you know, sign up more clients, help our intake team be better, help our reception team be better, you know, as far as working on cases, you know, systematically, as far as our case managers, you know, what can they be doing better? You know, sometimes, a lot of times I like to view myself as a troubleshooter, right?
Yeah.
Whenever we got clients that are upset, you know, or, you know, issues, you know, fires that kind of need to be put out, usually I'm the go-to person, you know, as far as if a lawyer's running into issues, you know, I'm always available, you know, as far as, you know, putting out like those type of fires, as far as trying to, with the goal of trying to keep all the clients happy, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot.
And then, you know, my other role is, as far as working on the business, you know, I still get involved with the trial cases that are litigated, in trying the cases on the back end. You know, a goal of mine has been to be a better trial lawyer. And not just me, but we've got young lawyers that I get to try the cases with and get to, you know, try to grow them to be better trial lawyers too.
That's awesome. I see that you hang out with Dan Ambrose sometimes.
Yeah, Dan's a good friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Oh, very
cool. Does it make
you
laugh?
Absolutely. Yeah. So Dan, you know, around the time that I got separated from my ex-wife, it was probably like six years ago, I had some, you know, more time on my hands, and here at the firm, you know, I realized we had a lot of young lawyers and none of the cases were kind of being tried. And that's when I kind of said, hey, you know, I wanted to start trying cases again, because Alex and I tried a lot of cases when we were younger, but keep in mind, that's when I was doing everything. I was going to criminal cases in the morning, you know, my criminal calendar, maybe an arbitration, you know, at 10 or 11, a deposition in the afternoon. And then I'd hustle back, try to sign up clients. And then on top of that, we're like trying cases, you know? So not really having the benefit of this team and all these resources. And then I kind of stopped doing that. Just really said, you know what, I'm just going to focus more on building the office and build, you know, trying to grow the firm and doing, you know, intake and stuff that I was really, really, really good at.
That's really important though.
It is.
Like, I guarantee you that helped you grow.
Yes.
As a firm.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But then when I met Dan,
yeah,
it was when I kind of said, you know, I want to get back in the courtroom and try to be the best trial lawyer I can be. And you know, lawyers are kind of funny, especially lawyers that want to be good trial lawyers. They're always looking for like that magic elixir, like that, you know, like that magic recipe, you know, kind of like a crutch. And I'm no different. I reached out to Dan, and that's when he was with like Trojan Horse. So mm-hmm. I met Dan, and I did a lot of his jury selection classes, and we became friends. And to this day, I still do a lot of work with him. You know, he's a good teacher, and he's always trying to make us, you know, everybody around him better.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like Dan's everywhere. When we were talking about working together, and Dan was not even involved in this, that week I get a picture from Dan, and he's with you. And I think Dan was wearing a Law Rank hat. So you were like, hey, we're talking to Law Rank. And I'm like, fucking Dan is just like everywhere. Like, can he just not be everywhere? But no, Dan is a great guy. And we're a big fan of his conferences and sponsor his conferences. Now, I have a question for you. that I think everybody wants to know the answer to. So you have six-pack abs and six children. What's harder, keeping the six-pack abs or raising six kids?
Raising six kids.
Is it really?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't doubt it. I have three. You have double. That's so much.
Yes. And then I've got my wife, Natalie. She's got a child. Not a child. She's a teenager. So...
Seven now.
Yes. And you know, I'd say that the tougher part is the teenagers. You know, so I got three teenagers plus Olivia, four teenagers.
And this is the attitude, huh?
Yeah. And boys, the boys.
Oh, don't tell me that because I'm on my way there.
Yeah.
Now, can we talk a little bit about your work? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
49.
You are?
49, yeah.
Wow. You look really young and you're in such good shape.
Thanks.
I see your videos.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about your videos and like your workout routine. Can we talk about that for a second?
So the videos, you're friends with Chava. He helps.
I am friends with Chava.
And JC. Right?
Yes, I love them.
So they help with the videos, good guys.
Yeah.
We do a lot of stuff, kind of come here and film a lot of content. They're really, really cool. And so we try just to do videos of, not just, trial and right. legal stuff, but... Yeah. But real life stuff with the kids, stuff with working out.
Yeah, I see the ones at the gym. I'm like laughing because I can just imagine like Chava and JC recording for you like at the gym. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Like I get a kick out of it.
Yeah, no, so it's cool. So I've been doing CrossFit for a while, probably like, I don't know, 8-9 years. And it's just easy. For me, it's an hour. Well, it's easy.
It's a habit, I think, at this point.
It's a habit, but what's easy is it's not, like for me, let's say I'm going traveling and I just have a hotel gym. Now I got to figure out, okay, what do I want to do? All right, I got to make a workout. I got to think about it.
So that's what CrossFit is. You just show up.
You just show up. You know, there's like an instructor and they force you to stretch. They have the workout. You just kind of go through the motion and you get to compete, right? You get to work out against your friends and, you want to beat them. They want to beat you. But it's a good, healthy competitiveness.
What about your diet? How's your diet?
I just eat normal food, I try to not eat like bad food. Like,
you're not counting like your macros.
No. If anything, I need to eat more. Yeah, I try to eat more. My wife's always telling me, I need to eat more.
Yeah.
Right?
She's I feel you. I'm the same way. I don't eat.
Yeah.
I'm just not hungry.
I eat breakfast.
No, I eat too. But I mean like when you work out, you're supposed to like eat a ton of protein. And I like struggle with that. I'm full. I don't want to eat anymore. I don't eat a lot. But that's why I'm tiny, because I'm just not, it's nothing like, I don't have any issues with it. I know I should eat more for muscle.
Yeah. And I think what's good, I try not to like snack. And I think working helps. I notice Monday through Friday when I do my schedule, I'm doing my thing. I don't snack. I just eat my normal meals. I notice the weekends are harder for me because I'm not bored.
And then you're like,
And I'm not around my schedule. Now I'm working around the kids' schedule. I put on my little chauffeur hat. I'm driving them around from practice to games, eating around them. So I find I try to snack and you just sometimes eat just to kill time because you're just hanging around the house.
Now, do you think that like being in shape and eating healthy, do you think that impacts you as a, business owner, as a leader? Do you think there's a correlation?
I think so.
I think so too. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I think a big part is if you want to do good at work, you want to do good, whether in the courtroom or leading your team, you got to feel good about yourself, right?
Feel healthy and have energy and all of that.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of it is feeling good and working out, I think is just part of it, right? Part of it, in addition to eating good, sleeping good.
Yeah.
If I don't work out, I feel I get upset, I get cranky.
Mm-hmm.
Even in cases when I'm in trial, I'll usually try to at least work out twice a week. And then it helps me sleep better at night.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I think it's like a domino effect. Like if you work out, you feel good, so you're gonna like try to eat healthier, and then if you did work out and you ate healthy, like you're just going to go to sleep. But I just feel like they all kind of help each other. It's like a good habit builds on like other good habits.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got my, I don't know if I've trained my mind, but if I eat something that's not, and I don't eat like fast food anymore, but let's say I just went out to eat something. A lot of times I'll tell like my wife, oh, I feel bad. I feel we should have stayed home and ate, you know, I prefer your cookie. And I think
my husband's the same way.
And I think it's just my head. She's like, Orlando, shut up. You know,
that's in
your head. You know, that food was great, you know? And sometimes I think maybe it is in my head, but I physically don't feel as good. And I regret not having stayed home. And then she gets upset. She goes, I'm not going to cook for you 7 nights a week, you know?
And I agree with her. It's funny because my husband and I go through this where we'll go out to eat and we like come home and we're like, we feel kind of shitty and we're like, is it in our head? And it's also like the oils that they use at restaurants. So like, that's like a big thing. So we're like, okay, maybe we ordered healthy, right? Like a steak or a fish or whatever. But we're like, is it the oils they used? And like, we don't know if it's like in our head or not in our head.
Yeah.
Right? So
I think it's the oils, the butter. Personally, I don't think it's in our heads. I mean, I think it.
I'm more likely to agree with you, and my husband would agree with you, because this is like a huge subject of our house. Like, fuck, are we gonna go eat and like not know how it's being prepared, or like do we suck it up and cook? I don't know, like maybe it is in our head. I don't think it is.
That's why I feel bad, or that, you know, those people that are on the road all the time. Like, I talk to Dan a lot, you know,
like me.
Yeah, so it's a struggle, right?
It is.
Or you got to find certain places where you
totally. You know. I told my husband, it's like he wanted to go out to eat, I think Sunday, and I was like, dude, I have a whole week coming up of bad oils. Like, we're not eating out. Like, I don't want to eat out because I know that I have from Monday through Friday, I'm going to be eating out, right? And yeah. I have no control over what they're using, right? MSG, like what kind of, like, plus at home we eat all organic, like super clean, yes. Right? And then we go out and eat, and you know, like one of my things is like I don't eat fried foods. Like, that's one of my rules, and it's just become a habit that I just won't really touch anything fried personally. Like, maybe a french fry here and there, but not really.
Yeah
but I do think that there's a correlation between, I think if you are a business owner, like, you have to put your health first, because I see it personally when I get up early, work out, eat healthy, go to sleep early, wake up early. It's like I just have more energy. I'm like in a better mood, right? Like you said, like not cranky, you know, I don't know. I do think it impacts it. Now, going back to the firm and like the three different departments, why did you guys decide to continue to do three different types of law? Because I think it's very common in the legal space that as soon as a firm starts generating more personal injury cases, they're like, we don't want to do the crim anymore or the immigration. What was the logic behind continuing to do all three, and has it been difficult?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the logic was, one, you know, immigration's a bit, we've had immigration clients, criminal defense clients, and we just want to continue to serve the community. Primarily, that, you know, in large part, the Hispanic community is kind of our niche, right? So we've been helping people in those areas, want to continue to help them. You know, my dad was really passionate about immigration law. You know, even toward the end, like when I first came back to work with my dad, he didn't want to do any more personal injury law.
Really?
Which allowed me to kind of do it. You know, so I said, yeah, Dad, I want to do it. Yeah. So, but he wanted to do immigration law. He wanted to continue doing that. And as a firm, we just thought, you know, it makes sense, continue to do immigration, do the criminal defense. And if we deliver a good product, you know, we're going to get that goodwill. It's hard to get that direct attribution, but we're going to get that goodwill, and it's going to, in turn, create more personal injury cases for us.
Right, because if you have helped them with a criminal defense matter or an immigration matter and they are injured, then they're going to call you again. And your brand is very much, first of all, you guys have an amazing last name. Like, I love it.
I love it. I do, too. It's unique.
It's so unique, and it does signal like we speak Spanish, right? In my opinion, it does. And it's funny because before we worked together, I would drive past your office when I lived in Vegas for a minute. And I just remember thinking, like, I love their brand. Like, I want to work with them. And then, of course, like, synergistically, yes, we ended up, you know, working together because we were introduced by someone. But you guys do have such a good brand, and you don't, your billboards, for my recollection, at least when I was here, they never say, like, car accident or criminal defense firm. It's just like, we're your law firm, which to the Hispanic person, you don't divide law in your head, right? Like, it's like the lawyer just handles any matter that you have, right?
Yes, yes.
So I think it's like so perfect, in my opinion.
We really just try to brand the name, you know? And I love the billboard that just had De Castro Verde.
Yes, me too.
I loved it. I thought it looked clean. But the issue with that, because that's what we did for the longest time. We just had these beautiful boards.
They were beautiful. And the blue that you used, I just...
Yeah, I loved it. But, you know, I was driving on the freeway. This was a few years ago. And I was driving, and I think I saw, I forget what the law, but it was a last name. It said, like, Smith Law. And it didn't say anything. And I was like, the fuck? That's stupid. Right? I don't even know where they're at, what they do. You know, I've never heard of them. And then it made me think of, you know, our billboards. That I love them. They're pretty, really beautiful, and it looked, you know, as good to brand the name. But that's where we've kind of pivoted a little bit and try to have the billboard still brand the name, you know, De Castro Verde, but still have more like a little call to action, something more memorable.
Yeah.
And that's why we came up with Brothers Have Your Back and the brotherswin.com. The win is played out. The brothers win, you know, win. That's everybody win, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so, but the brothers have your back. I think that's cool. Not all law firms or personal injury firms have brothers.
Right.
You know, so it's cool. It's memorable. It's different.
Are you going to do one in Spanish?
Yeah. We just shot a commercial in Spanish here in the same office.
Yeah.
Uh huh. We shot a few spots, and it's Los Hermanos. Los Hermanos de Castro Verde.
I'm excited to see how that plays out. How much time will you give it till you decide, like, if you keep that going with that or if you go back to it, to the De Castro Verde? Or are you guys, like, set this is the way forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaning. I would think we're just going to stick with Brothers Have Your Back,
okay,
you know, and continue to invest in that brand.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of complement each other.
Yeah.
De Castro Verde Law Group, it Brothers Have Your Back.
It still says De Castro Verde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think we'll go back to just the same brand. You know, I think we'll continue to, with the Brothers Have Your Back.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting to see how that does. Was it scary making that? That was a big switch.
Yeah, it was a switch. But the more we kind of talked, the more it made sense to have something memorable, you know. It's hard to come up with your pitch, right?
Yes.
Well,
the other thing is, like, your billboards historically didn't have you guys on it. And you guys are the brand, and people want to work with people. So it was missing that component, right? Now you have that component because I did see your faces were on there.
Yeah, we kind of went like full circle because before you got to Vegas, you know, when we first started, we had some billboards with our pictures on it and then we went more to just the Castro Verde Law Group with the blue board and just the branding. So we've kind of gone like full circle, but now, you know, implementing, you know, introducing the Brothers Have Your Back kind of concept.
That's really cool. What's next for you guys?
Well, we just want to continue to grow, right? We've been growing, want to continue to grow, and we want to be, you know, the premier personal injury law firm, you know, here in Las Vegas. And we want to continue to represent the Hispanic market, but we also want to continue just to grow our overall, you know, reach and market. And not just here in Vegas. You know, we have an office in Reno that we're growing. And we have lawyers in Texas. Got three lawyers in Texas as well.
What part?
We got two in Dallas, one in Austin.
Okay.
You know, so the nice thing about immigration law is, you can be an immigration lawyer in Texas and you can service a client in Nevada, New Mexico, California, anywhere. In particular,
yeah, it's federal, yeah.
Right? It's federal. Yeah. And only certain cases are in the courts where you have to be in that city. A lot of our immigration practice, it's just forms, and you can do a case in Michigan, but do it here. You know, it's not like you're going in front of the judge.
Yeah. But you're not going to target Texas as a whole, like, or
we
you
do.
Are?
Yeah, we want to do personal injury there in Texas.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We'll talk offline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually we'd like to get into other markets as well, but that's a big step.
Yeah, that is. Because you guys have such a solidified brand here. You can definitely do that. I think your brand could be any, I mean, it's, again, I'm a really big fan of anything that targets the Hispanic community in an authentic way. Meaning when they call you, you actually speak Spanish, right?
And what's cool about our office is everyone speaks Spanish. There's maybe a handful of employees or team members that don't speak
Spanish. What about your lawyers?
Most of our lawyers speak Spanish.
That's amazing.
I think there's, maybe a handful that don't.
Okay, so for all of my clients listening that keep telling me they can't hire a Spanish-speaking lawyer because it's so hard, how do they do it? I'm just like letting people know.
Yeah.
Because I get that a lot. Like, oh, it's so hard to find a Spanish. And it is, but it's doable. Like, you can do it.
You can, but there is some truth to that.
I know.
It is hard finding.
I know it's
hard. Bilingual.
Yeah, for sure.
Talent, But, sure. But you know, I'm always really amazed by how few Hispanic lawyers there are, considering how big the Hispanic market's growing.
Yep.
Where I went to law school at Ole Miss. I was the only Hispanic kid there.
Yeah. Even California, it's tough to find Spanish speaking lawyers. I think Florida is probably the best state for that. Like just based on my limited knowledge.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Miami, I think that is like a hub. But I think California is really tough.
Why not more Hispanic clients or lawyers?
I don't think they go to law school. I mean, a lot are immigrants, and maybe they don't have the means, right?
Yeah.
First time college, right? Like, what do you call that when it's like the
first generation? First generation.
Yeah, I don't know. I've thought about this a lot because I know our California clients struggle to find Spanish-speaking lawyers, and I have to assume that Vegas is similar. I think Miami, not Florida. I think Miami's probably the best. And Texas is tough. Even some lawyers that you would think would speak Spanish don't. Like their parents speak Spanish, but they don't speak Spanish.
Yes.
Just like, that's like my children. So I'm not judging.
All my kids spoke Spanish when they were little.
That's how,
Yeah.
And then they forget it.
And and then they go to school.
Yeah.
And they only speak English. They come home and they forget it.
I get so much shit from people. They're like, how do your kids not speak Spanish? You speak Spanish. Your husband speaks Spanish. You lived in Mexico for years. And I'm like, I just prioritize I pick my battles. Like when they don't want to watch TV in Spanish, when they don't want to talk to me in Spanish, and I'm running a business and I, have three kids and I have a husband. It's like, you just pick your battles. It's like, this is just not a battle that if I was a stay-at-home mom, then yeah, maybe I would pick that as the battle. But I'm like, well, no, I'm working. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I get a lot of judgment for it. It's like really interesting. Every time I talk to my mom, I'm not even kidding. She's like, Chloe still doesn't remember Spanish, right? I'm like, no, mom. Yeah, she like randomly remembered it. Like, just like out of nowhere, it's like all of a sudden, like a switch came on and she remembers it.
If there's any kids out there, I don't know what the median age for your podcast is, but if there's any kids out there whose parents are telling them to speak Spanish and they don't want to speak it, you got to speak it. You got to practice.
I hope
don't
there
forget
are no
it.
Kids.
I was that kid who, maybe, I don't know if you were, I was that kid who, because Spanish was my first language.
Yeah, same.
My mom and dad were Cuba. I was born in Alex and I were born in Miami. And that was our first language. We moved to Reno. Not a lot of Hispanics in Reno, and I'm a teenager, and my mom is talking to me in Spanish. I'm talking in English, and she's saying, en español, talk to me in Spanish. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to talk to you then. I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
Just stupid, stubborn, And but a lot of kids are like that, you know.
I know.
Who's their parents speak Spanish, and they just don't want to do it. You know, they feel like an outcast for whatever reason. You know,
yes.
And then later in life, you realize, oh man, how stupid was I?
Totally.
Because now my Spanish has gotten a lot better. You know, because I went to Mississippi, not a whole lot of Spanish. You know, I would only
but
talk
here with your clients. Probably,
yeah. So
right?
Now I practice all the time with my clients.
Yeah.
You know, especially when I was doing a lot of intake, probably my Spanish was the best, you know,
right?
Because I'm talking all the time, and yeah. Especially in that little universe, you know, my little bubble, as far as
yeah,
where, the lingo that I'm talking all, you know, day in, day out, and probably fluent.
Yeah.
Right now, you could tell if I talk Spanish, it's not, you know, I'm not as comfortable.
And you're like Mariano. My husband's is the same way. He's like you. Like, he can totally speak it, but it's like, not doesn't sound as perfect as like his English would sound, whereas my mom didn't speak English, so I had no choice but to talk to her in Spanish. And I was older when I moved, so I moved at 8, so my Spanish was like pretty solidified at that point. And it's not that like we weren't allowed to talk English at home. I think eventually they like gave up on like the siblings talking in English, but I could never talk to my mom in English because she didn't speak it. Like, there was no choice. And like my grandparents, all my extended family, they all lived in Mexico, right? But I don't like it. I don't like talking in Spanish if I don't have to, because I think in English. So, and I almost feel like, it's going to sound psycho, but it's like almost like a different, like I almost feel like I have a different personality when I'm speaking in Spanish. Like, it's not the same person, because I tap into like a different, like, I don't know, maybe like I'm more in line with like my childhood and my Mexican family, and like, it's really weird.
That,
I don't know.
That is interesting.
I like my English side better.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the only reason I prefer to speak English is I just more comfortable. I could think English.
Do you dream in English or in Spanish?
Probably English, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I dreamt in English.
It's weird. I think my dreams are just more visual than audio, though. I don't know if I dream in particular language, you know. But it's just frustrating sometimes talking in Spanish, not being able to fully communicate,
yeah.
And sometimes with the verb tenses, I get some issues.
Yes,
with,
you know, I'm fluent. Like if you heard me, you would be like, oh no, like your Spanish is perfect. Like my Spanish is like really good, except if I have to talk about something like business or legal, then I'm like, don't speak that language. Because like, I don't know, have you ever read like a contract in Spanish?
No, I don't read contracts too much in English.
Dude, they are, I almost want to like forward you one, because you know we have an operation out of Mexico,
yeah.
Right? And every time we have to like rent an office or hire an employee or whatever, and I look at these contracts and I'm like, they make no sense. Like in English, in the US, like you read a contract, and you understand the gist of it.
Yeah, but I think the little I know from Mexico and the legal stuff there, they're still, I think, I want to say old school.
They are.
But everything's paper. You're signing all, you know, 9 copies, originals.
Yeah, and you have to like
and
sign
I think,
through, like if it's a contract, you can't just sign the last page. You have to initial every page.
And it's, yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah, we do some work with some Mexican nationals and contracts, and it's like that. You're like, no, you have to sign all 9 initial.
So weird.
All.
Yeah.
It's different.
Because there's a lot of fraud. So you have to think of like what happens when you're in a country that doesn't have like the rules and like the system that the US has. And like, I can tell you firsthand, we're so lucky, because you go there and like, you can't even do a DocuSign in Mexico. A DocuSign in Mexico will not hold up. If you're going to sign digitally, it's like through like their IRS. There's like, you have to go to the office, like you give your passport, they take your fingerprints, and then you have a digital signature, and then you have all these passwords to access it. And then you have to access that digital signature to sign digitally.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
like
that
we're
is crazy.
So lucky, like the way that we can set up a business, you know, I literally LegalZoom, you have a business in a couple hours. In Mexico, it was like, took us months to actually have like a legit business.
Yeah, that's, that. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I guess there's some positives to those safeguards, but...
Well, it's only because of the level of fraud. Whereas here, we don't worry about that stuff so much because it's like our legal system is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like you can say whatever you want about it, but in comparison to like Mexico, in Mexico, you get in a car accident, there's no tort law. Like nothing happens.
Yeah.
You know, like you hope that there's insurance. That's it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We're lucky and fortunate to have the laws. We have, no corruption. Well, I take that back.
Right.
Less corruption, right?
And less like blatant corruption. Like in Mexico, it's like very blatant. Like we got pulled over on our way to the airport. We were living in Mexico. We were flying to New York City. You can imagine like three car seats, all the kids, the cops pull us over and they're like, I'm going to need $200 or I'm going to take your car and like impound it. And my Mexican family was like dying laughing. They're like, we wouldn't have given him a penny. We would have given him $10. And Marno and I were like, just fucking give him the $200. Like, yeah, gives a shit. Yeah, like, yeah. I just don't want to miss my plane. They're literally like, we're going to impound your car. Like, you're all going to have to get out and we're going to like hold it for 2 days and blah, blah, because of an illegal turn. I'm like, yeah. Really? Like,
that's crazy.
But so out in the open, like, I need $200, right? Like, that doesn't happen here.
No, not you at know? All. What part of Mexico are you from?
So I'm from Guadalajara, but this happened in Mexico City.
Okay. So, Alex and I, we've been to Mexico City several times.
It's cool, right?
Acapulco. So my dad's cousin was a popular movie producer, his whole family.
Really?
René Cardona.
I'm not familiar, but I'll ask my family.
Uh-huh. And then my brother and I, we actually filmed probably like 10 commercials. We did a bunch of commercials in Mexico City. We flew down in...
For the law firm or for something else?
No, for the law firm.
Just, oh, cool.
Yeah, this is probably like in 2012. Yeah, so we flew down. Yeah, so my cousin, who was a movie producer, have you seen La Risas en Vacaciones?
No. Is it good?
No.
No. I have not seen
come
it.
Come on. All Mexicans have seen. It's a very popular...
Are you trying to tell me I'm not Mexican enough?
Perhaps. I mean, if you haven't seen the movie. No, listen, Las Risas en Vacaciones. Very popular. Ask everybody.
I'm going to look it up while you
kind
tell
of,
me about
It's kind of like candid camera skits. You know, they have the camera rolling. They roll up on people and with like jokes. But they're inside. Usually it's all actors, but the audience doesn't know, that they're actors. But my mom and dad were in Las Risas en Vacaciones number 2. I'll show you the skit when we finish. It's one of the most popular. It's like a little 5-minute skit. And my mom and dad are walking on the near the beach and some lady comes up and says, Papi, where were you last night? And my mom's like, what are you talking about? Who is this lady? And she says, you stood me up. And anyways, my dad gets an argument with my mom. It was really, is real.
I've never seen it. I pulled it up. I have not seen it.
We have clients that would come, they'd see my dad and say, oh my God, you were in Las Risas en Vacaciones.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'll show it to you. It's a good skit. But my cousin that was a producer for that film, he did the 10 spots in Mexico City. Big deal. We had, like 30 people on set, the makeup.
And that's really cool.
We went to like a junkyard. I had like a shaved head at the time. So it's on our YouTube station. Well, I'll play it for the kids, and they see it's part of me with a shaved head. I'm young. Alex is a little chubby, a little bigger.
That's funny.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much to Orlando for everything he shared with us today. If you found the story valuable, please share it with someone you want to see succeed. Subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave a 5-star review. It goes a long way to help others discover the show. As a super quick reminder, don't forget that in Spotify, this is video and audio, and we also have a YouTube channel if you want to see the video component.